The only difference is, according to some, even myself, is that being a father, you pass on the DNA and some of your characteristics are passed on. But being a dad is one who is present in the family, with the family, and sharing and loving with the family on all occasions. The reason the question was brought up, it was asked by me, was I a father? But I said, no, but I'm a dad. And they said, what do you mean by that? I have not birthed any children into the world as of yet, but there have been times in my life whereby I played the role of a father, of a dad, and a father at the same time, but mostly a dad. So that was my definition of being a dad. And that led to other statements made to me by individuals, mainly women, and said, when are you going to talk about the deadbeat dad? And so today I thought that I would dove into that subject of deadbeat dads. So gentlemen, get ready to hear some very exciting and enlightening news about deadbeat dads here on It's a Man's World. Well, according to statistics in the United States Census Bureau, 40% of all custodial mothers receive all child support that they are owed, and 70% receive some. Additionally, 30% of custodial fathers receive all child support that they were owed, and 72% receive some. So there's a difference there between a deadbeat dad and a deadbeat parent. And I was asked another question just recently, last night, and said, why is it called deadbeat dad? Why isn't it deadbeat father? Because there are some men in individual lives that are being and playing the role of the dad, really supporting, being there emotionally, being there financially, and being there physically and spiritually. So what is the difference? Is there such thing as a deadbeat father? Is there such thing as a deadbeat dad? Well, I did some research on it, and I came up with some conclusions, very startling conclusions, and it seems to ring a bell. And I asked myself, so what is that big difference? What possibly could be a deadbeat dad? Now, does a deadbeat dad have to be just not financially there? What is it? Is it just the money? It's a good thing to be financially supportive of your children, your wife, your family. I applaud you for that, men. But yet and still, there's another definition. It goes even further. Deadbeat dad. Meaning that you're not there. You're dead. Your presence is not felt. That's what I'm always saying. Being present in the family. So not only can you be deadbeat financially, you can be deadbeat emotionally. Not giving emotions, not showing emotion, detached from your emotions. You could be deadbeat spiritually, not leading your family or your children into worship or praise or to a higher being. Whatever your faith may be, you could be a deadbeat dad spiritually, emotionally, and financially. So it all encompasses all together, that deadbeat. But what about the deadbeat father? Is there such of a thing? Well, I couldn't find any information on that, so I can't share with you that information regards a deadbeat father. But society has placed this stigma upon men and said deadbeat dads. And so we're going to talk about that today. And here are some of the numbers that I found, and I'd like to share with you. According to the California study, 76% of the $14.4 billion in child support appears in California has been attributed to obblers, those who lack the ability to pay. Those who lack the ability to pay are called deadbeat parents. And those who are deadbeat parents had a medium income of $6,349. The lowest, but the highest, was $9,447. With only child support of $300 a month. So, man, you mean to tell me that you can't afford for your children or your child $300 per month if you're working? Now, there are some men who do not have the ability to work due to emotional needs, due to incarceration, due to physical ailments and disabilities. I understand that. But if you're wearing Jordans, you're driving the latest car with rims, and you have the sound system, and you have on the fanciest clothes provided by society, and you have the latest technology, the cell phones. You mean to tell me you can't support your child? You don't love your child enough to take time out to share with them the financial resources? Not only the finances, but the energy that you can provide. Being positive, being a motivator, being there when they fall down or perhaps scratch their knee or receive a bump on the head, just to comfort them or to read with them, help do their homework, showing them how to ride a bike, showing them how to cook, showing them how to fix the flat tire, changing the oil. It's all those things, men, that we can be doing, not only financially, but that and some. So we're going to try to bring life to those deadbeat dads through this show. We're going to try to share with them that there is ways that you can improve. I know it's scary out there, man. It is very hard to be a man nowadays. There are a lot of expectations of us. There are a lot of things that we're said that we're supposed to be doing in society, and it causes a strain on us. And at a certain age, you're supposed to have your house, you're supposed to be married and with children and with the picket fence. But sometimes it does not pan out that way. What can we do in the meantime until we receive that which we think we are owed in life? What can we do in the meantime? First of all, we can continue our education in life. Just because you graduated high school, finished the 12th grade, does not mean that that's all you need to learn in life. I'm a returned student, returned to college in the latter part of my 30s. I was about ready to turn 40, and I decided to go back to school. It was one of the best decisions that I made, gentlemen. Decisions that I'm proud that I made. Now I'm a year away from graduating from Dominican University with a degree in psychology. The road has not been easy. It has been tough, but it is my passion. I made a commitment to myself, a promise to myself, that I was going to make something of myself. In today's society, you have to have a degree. You have to have some form of education in order to make it. Long gone are those days whereby you can say you can work at McDonald's and get by, or you can just pick up a job. Those jobs are fine and dandy, but yet and still, you're going to be at the bottom of the pay scale. Well, the numbers right here indicate the average person, the lowest one, is making $6,349 a month. A year, I'm sorry. And the highest is $9,447. And as I'm talking now, I'm hearing Michael Jackson in my subconscious. If you can't feed the baby, then why have the baby, man? If you can't feed the baby, then why have the baby? We must be doing better, man, with our commitments towards our families, towards our children. And don't get me started on the baby mamas, a term that I despise to the utmost. I do not understand where that came from and why we use it in society. Baby's mama. You're thingifying the female as a thing to produce babies. That is my baby's mama. That she means nothing to you but the mother of my child. Come on, man. Seriously? This is the best we can do. We can label our women who carry our seed for 9 months, go through the valley of the shadow of death, and all the physical and emotional changes they go through for 9 months. And at the end of the 9 month period, this is the title that they get, or this is the label they receive: baby's mama. Baby's mama. I do not understand our way of thinking, men. But yet and still, we say we love our mothers, we love our grandmothers, we love our aunties, and we love our daughters, and we love our sisters. But when it comes to someone else's mother, daughter, or sister, we want to put these labels on them that are very demeaning, thingifying a woman as a baby's mama. How absurd is that? She was good enough for you to lay up with. But once she says that she's pregnant, you want to put this stigma on her that she's no more than the carrier of my child. And on top of that, you have the nerve not to take care of the child for some reason or another. So tell me, gentlemen, what are we going to do? Are we going to change the way that we're living, the way we're doing things in society? We could be doing a lot better, man. So share with me. Tell me what's going on. I'm like Marvin Gaye. What is really going on, man? You say no one wants to listen to you. No one wants to hear what you have to say. So what are you saying? I was told years ago, growing up in the Midwest, that a person can show you better than they can tell you about their character. I would not go to my neighbor and ask about, well, how so-and-so? I sit back and I watch. I listen and I monitor. I'm a people watcher. And I've been watching men for quite some time now. And men, we are really pathetic in our attitudes towards women. We're lacking all the respect that our forefathers and our mothers have taught us. I was growing up in the Midwest, and it was mandatory. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, sir. Those are 3 or 4 years older than me. And I'm still saying those words today that are individuals older than me, even though I'm 48 years old. I'm saying yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you. I appreciate that. Oh, I'm sorry. Would you please excuse me? May I talk with you for just a moment? Men, our conversations that we're having nowadays with our women, the way we talk to them, is very disrespectful. It's very disgraceful the way that we're conducting ourselves with our ladies. Where do we get off thinking that we can just say what we want to say to them without them responding? Women are tired of your attitudes. They're tired of the way that you're talking to them and addressing them. And I don't blame them for wanting to strike out and be independent and do things their own, because they've given you opportunities time after time after time after time after time to be a man. And when I was dating a young lady a few years back, we sat back and we was watching the movie Baby Boy. In the beginning of the movie, is very, very telling. The umbilical cord. They show the young fetus in the womb of the belly of the woman and how he was struggling for life in an umbilical cord. And it seems as though that once the umbilical cord was cut in life, but it wasn't cut emotionally. We say that we don't need women. They're nothing. They're only bearers of babies. But yet and still, when we get in the dire straits in life, who do we run to? Who do we lean on the most? The women. We go to our mothers. That's what we're called sometimes a mama's boy. We run to our lover. We want to go to the so-called crib because we have not grown up. But we are going to do better, man. This is year 2013. And like I said last week, I'm going to be like Harriet Tubman. She led some of the slaves from slavery to freedom. And I'm going to be Harry Tubman in regards to leading some of the men who are in bondage of the male role belief system here in society and relieve them to freedom of mind. Because once you free your mind, man, the rest will follow. You will understand that there's more to life than just degrading women. There's more to life than just partying. There's more to life than just drinking and having a good time. It's time for us men to grow up and be responsible in society. The numbers are staggering. $14.4 billion in child support that are left unpaid. That's only here in California. And also here in California, they're beginning to send men to prison or jail for lack of child support. So, men, you have no one to blame but yourself. Sometimes you have to get out and do what is necessary. Some may laugh at me when I say you may have to sometimes collect cans, recycle bottles. You may have to get that job at Best Buy or Dollar General or Safeway or Lucky's. Faking it until you make it. Because the real taxpayers are the ones who are taking care of your children. Believe it or not. Those who get up and work that 9 to 5, some of them have 2 jobs. And you say that no one is helping you out, but yet and still they have programs in place because some men refuse to get up to go to work. Some men do have jobs, but they refuse to pay child support to their own offspring. It's a sad state that we're living in, men. That's why you're tuned in today, listening to It's a Man's World. I'm your host, Todd McCleary, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is It's a Man's World with your host, Todd McCleary. Now it's time for our PSA, Public Service Announcements. Tiburon International Film Festival will take place February the 11th through the 19th in Tiburon, the 12th annual Tiburon International Film Festival, a showcase for independent films from around the world. It is a 9-day event showcasing the best in global cinema. This year, the films are presented from 30 countries, including Japan, Colombia, USA, Cuba, France, Italy, Germany, Yemen, Spain, Turkey, India, and Switzerland. For the tickets and more information, please visit www.tiburonfilmfestival.com, or they can be reached by phone 415-251-TIFF-8433. Once again, 415-251-8433. The venue is located at the Tiburon Playhouse Theater, 40 Main Street in Tiburon, California. Also, we'd like to pay special note to Marin Ballet 50th Annual Anniversary Reunion performance, which is scheduled for April the 13th, which is a Saturday, at College of Marin. Doors open at 8 p.m. Marin Ballet alumni will be performing for the special event as well as current students. Tickets are available to the public by visiting www.marinballet.org. For more information, please visit Marin Ballet online and Marin Ballet blog. Come help celebrate the past, present, and future, the 50th anniversary reunion performance with current Marin Ballet students. Performing alongside professional dancers who studied at Marin Ballet. Once again, it will be Saturday, April 13th at College Marin in Kittfield, California. before we went into our music break and our PSAs, we were discussing deadbeat dads, with the difference between being a father and being a dad. I'll just share with you a personal note that I received one of the greatest questions ever asked me in life thus far. It warmed my heart to no end. I was dating a young lady who had children and grew quite fond of one of them, which happened to be a young girl who we became very close. And she pulled me to the side one day while we was cooking together, one of our favorite projects, things that we would do together. And she said, "Mr. Todd," I said, "Yes, I want to ask you a question." I said, "Sure." She said, "I would like to change your name." I said, "You want to change my name? You want to give me a nickname?" She said, "Well, it's somewhat of a nickname, but it's something that I think that you would like." And I said, "So what is?" She said, "I'm tired of you calling you Mr. Todd." And I said, "Well, what name do you think you have in mind?" She asked me if it was okay if she could call me Dad. Oh, it warmed my heart, radio fans, to no end. Even sometimes when I'm feeling a little down and out about life and the situations in life, I think of that question a young girl asked me, and it just delights me, and it always puts a smile on my face. And that's why I wanted to do the show featuring the question of what's the difference between a father and a dad. I'm not trying to knock the father. There are circumstances and situations that sometimes beyond our control. Fathers are important. Dads are equally important. Both of them go hand in hand. But sometimes it's that extra mile that it just does something to a child when they can just see the love and they can feel the love and the consistency and the concern and the discipline. And it's in a nice, loving way that you're present, that you're excited about their performances of how they're doing in school or their achievements, the first time riding a bike, even skateboarding or roller skating, birthdays, or just everyday things. Remember to make your bed, remember to brush your teeth, reading to them before they go to bed, being there when they wake up, having breakfast ready for them, and giving them just small little treats because they are there. And you are there, and each of you are present with one another. That is life. That's why I'm so convinced, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that dads are great. Fathers are great. Men, we are magnificent individuals. We're selling ourselves short. We think that there's nothing else in life than to just try to have as many as women possible. But I've been told through experience, a bear in a hand is worth two in the bush. If you have someone who's willing to spend time with you, to share with you, and to just be around you, regardless of your status in life, to show you unconditional love, that is the greatest feeling ever, man. Unconditional love from your child or the one that loves you as much as you love them. A wonderful feeling. I know Mother's Day is coming up in May, and then right after that, it's going to be Father's Day. But how many fathers out there really deserve it? I know that there are a lot of them out there, and I know a lot of great men. So please do not misunderstand. I'm talking to the ones who are not doing their job, not being responsible, out all night, doing God knows what. I'm talking to those individuals. So the men, I applaud you, the fathers, the dads, the stepdads, or whatever label you may have, as long as you're showing love and you're providing financially, emotionally, spiritually, you're all right with me. But I need you. I need you to help me. Gather these men up. Sit them down. Talk to them. A lot of them just want someone to talk to. Some of them are afraid to be talked to because they know it all. My grandfather did it this way. My dad did it this way. And I'm going to do it this way. And my son's going to do it this way. But man, if you look at the state that we're in today, we need to really take a look. I'm like Marvin. Marvin Gaye asked the question, what's going on? Men, what is going on? Why are we doing the things that we're doing, especially to our females in society? Why are we doing it? We need to do better. We need to make some changes. It's a man's world, but it would mean nothing without a woman or a girl. So let's start taking care of our females in society. I think it would be a better place. We have a huge responsibility. And I know that it's hard out there, but it's not as hard as you seem. Some things are worth fighting for. And to fight for your loved ones, to fight for your women in your life, that's one of the greatest feelings. I remember a song years ago by Lauryn Hill. One of her lyrics stated that you're willing to die for me, but she only asked one thing. Are you willing to live for me? A lot of men said that they fell in love and the woman doesn't love them. But the thing is, you fell in love. I want to ask you, can you stand in love? Can you stand in love? A lot of people are falling in love, but it takes more than falling in love. Sometimes you got to get up from love. You have to stand there. You have to endure it. That's what life is all about. The ebb and flow of life. Sometimes you're up. Sometimes you're down. That's what makes life beautiful. If all through life we only had one consistent beat in life, music wouldn't be nothing. It'd be plain. It'd be mundane. That's why there are different scales on the piano. You have your high notes and you have your low notes. If you play them at the right pitch, the right touch, and at the right time, in the right sequence, it makes a beautiful song. So life is a song, isn't it? It's a beautiful song. It's how we make it our lives, and depending upon our state of mind when we're listening to life's songs. So men, I really want to encourage you to do better. Help me to help the other young men out there that are coming up. Let's leave them a social inheritance, one whereby they can go into life's bank and deposit a check of courage, of integrity, of self-respect, of discipline. Help me to gather these young men up. Not only the young men, but the men that are coming home from the war. The PTSD that they're facing. And they're going to be reintroduced into society. The men that are coming from the jails. They're being early released. They're going to need our help. They're going to need someone to lean on. They're going to need some support. But if they have no role models, yes, man, we are role models, regardless if you want to say. The man who's getting up every day. At wee hours of the morning, going to work, you are a role model. Someone is watching you. Someone sees what you're doing. They may not come and pat you on the back. They might not send you a thank you note, but they are watching you. They're watching your every move. So don't get it twisted. Somebody's watching you, and someone is proud of what you're doing, that you get up every morning. You may be just a garbage collector. You may be just the pole climber to working for AT&T, doing all that. You do not have to have a fancy title to be considered yourself a man, to be considered a man in society. Do not believe that hype. The male role belief system has really done us bad, man. And we're going to talk about that more next week, the male role belief system, and how it has really stunted our emotional growth. I was looking over the weekend. I was invited by my mom's in the city to come spend some time with her, which I hadn't seen her for quite a while. And her favorite thing is to do to watch March Madness. To her, it's like a Super Bowl party. All the food. I mean, she had so much food, and she started at 9 a.m. Thursday. And she really just put on a beautiful spirit at the ripe age of 75. She really loves her sports. And while I was watching sports with her, doing just catching up with family members and just talking to her about life, and we got on the subject about the state of man today, and she said, baby, your society nowadays with men is very, very bad. I thought we had it rough coming up trying to find a man, but oh, my Lord, baby, you're going to have to do a lot of praying, because these young men today are in a sad state. And I'm proud to hear that you're doing something, that you're trying to lend a voice to help turn it around. It's going to be hard. I said, but moms, we got prayer and Jesus. We're going to be all right. And I believe that with all my heart, that we can make a difference in society, regardless of where we're at now. We're going to point out where we're at, and we're going to move to higher heights, men. Aren't we? We're going to do it together. So getting back to the story, I was watching advertisement. And we're always doing surveys on how it's generated towards women, but I started noticing the trend towards men, how we're encouraged to drink a certain beer, or we're encouraged to wear a certain cologne to attract certain women to get certain outcomes, how we are attracted to certain cars that go a certain speed to get our attention. But there was not one commercial that showed a man interacting with a child on a positive note. There was not one. I looked hard. Lord knows I looked hard, but I couldn't find one. And my heart just sank. It's like, whoa, what is really going on? Men, we are being targeted by advertisers to stay hooked up into these sports. I love my sports. God knows I do. I love to see LeBron flying through the air. I love to see Curry shooting his three-pointer. Alongside him is what's the young kid's name? Blake Griffin's. I love to see him. And Klay Thompson. I love to see all that. And I was in love with the 49ers and the Giants this season. But I had to limit my time of watching because I'm on a mission. I'm studying hard in school psychology. I'm trying to host a radio show. I'm researching what's going on with men today. I'm trying to be positive. I'm going to the gym every day. I'm working out. I'm eating right. I'm getting plenty of rest. And I'm just having the grandest time of my life. Finally figured it out that I didn't need all of that. And it is a distraction. It is one thing to watch sports, but to overindulge and to go night after night after night after night to the bars, to the boys' house, or to your buddies, to just to hang out and watch TV where the children are starving for attention. Not only the children, but the women are starving for attention. Where are all the good men? I went to get an eye exam just the other day, and didn't think that I was going to be having a conversation with the female optometrist about the state of men. She asked me what I was doing for a living. I said, well, currently not per se working, but my job is to go to school and to get educated. And she said, I'm proud of you. I'm glad to hear you doing it. What do you study? I said, psychology. And she said, oh, my Lord, we need to talk. And I said, what are we going to talk? She said, about you men. And I just thought it was quite funny. She said, no, nothing bad. But my girlfriends and I, we just really want to understand what's going on with men. And they formed some group, not some group, but they formed a group to really take surveys of what they really want out of our men and what they can do to help bring our men back to a good state whereby they can get along with the females, because we are needed. We're not only just needed or birthed in society just for war. I know there are a lot of men that we have lost throughout the war physically, but we're losing a lot of men through the war emotionally as well. They're coming back in bad conditions. And men, we have to be those big brothers to pick them up. We have to be those uncles. We have to be those best friends. Those young men have seen some very horrific things over there while we're sitting back. We're enjoying the very freedom that they're providing for us. And I'm not the one to talk about the U.S. government. If I see a problem, if I can help out in any way, just lending a voice or just giving them special words of encouragement or pointing out places where I think can help them, I would do that. And that's what we need. We have to be present enough to notice what's going on in society today. The young men that are hanging out in all hours of the night, not going to school. When I was growing up, there was a thing called truancy. Whatever happened to truancy? And God forbid for me to miss school or to be somewhere during the school day when I was supposed to be. There was the next door neighbor. There was the mailman. There was the pastor. There was the doctor. There was the guy who just worked at the convenience store. My father received the report. Would come home and say, what did you do today, boy? I said, well, I went to school and I did this and did that. So what did you really do today? Well, like I said, I went to school and then I went to play basketball. I'm going to ask you one more time and I need to hear the truth. What did you do today? Okay, I cut class. I did this and I see Mr. So-and-so and he told me to go home. Did you come home? No, I went to school. He said, boy, don't be funny. You knew what he meant. And that's what we need nowadays. We need those men to be responsible. Don't be afraid to tell these young boys in a nice way. Say, listen, you could be doing more with your life. You need to get to school and get your education. There's nothing on these streets but trouble. So now, if I see you out here again, I'm going to personally take you to school. If we have to fight, we're going to fight. Get you to school. That's where it's at. Being role models. I know what Charles Barkley said, that he's no role model. He's a basketball player, but that's his opinion. I'm not no basketball player. I'm far from it. But I am a player of life, and I'm a man who knows what's going on with the state of man today. So I'm a role model. I may not have a big fancy house. I may not have a bank account of nine figures. I may not have a fancy car. But yet and still, I know who I am, and I know my purpose and place in society. So I'm asking, what can we do, man, to better ourselves? Not only ourselves, but the young women and the women that are in society that are hungry, that are thirsting for a real man to step up. They're not just looking for relations, but they're looking for just for the emotional support. Someone to go out and have coffee with. Someone to help fix things around the house. Someone to just go on long rides with. Someone to share a meal with. It's not always about the sexual relations, man. Sometimes a woman just wants to have a decent conversation or share a meal or an opinion to discuss the state of society today. So don't get it twisted just because a lady says hello to you and would you like to go out to coffee does not mean that she wants to sleep with you, man. She simply just wants to have a conversation with a male counterpart because we are revered. I'm not saying that they're going to bow down and we're gods, but we're revered. We're looked up to. And we've been given a huge responsibility, one that I'm embracing wholeheartedly, that to be a man is a very honorable thing. A man with direction, a man with purpose, and a man with determination. I may not have a lot of people calling my name or giving me shout outs, but yet still, each and every day, I'm proud of who I am. I know I've come from a long ways, but I'm not close to where I need to be. But thank God I'm still here to live another day. I'm sharing with you My presence in life. And I do not mind sharing with you some of the things that I have experienced with life. And so, men, this is what it's all about. Waking up, answering the call, because we are being sought out. So you're listening to It's a Man's World. I'm your host, Todd McCleary, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. This is It's a Man's World, Men Turn Your World. I'm your host, Todd McCleary. Once again, public service announcement. Marin Ballet 50th Anniversary Reunion Performance is scheduled for Saturday, April 13th at College of Marin. The performance will begin at 8 p.m. Marin Ballet alumni will be performing for the special event, as well as current students. Tickets are available to the public by visiting www.marinballet.org. For more information, please visit Marin Ballet online and Marin Ballet's blog. Come and help celebrate the past, present, and future. The 50th anniversary reunion performance with current Marin Ballet students, performing alongside professional dancers who studied at Marin Ballet. Once again, it'll be this Saturday, April 13th at College Marin in Kentfield, California. Also, public service announcement, Tiburon International Film Festival. Tickets are on sale now. April 11th through the 19th, 2013, the 12th annual Tiburon International Film Festival will showcase the independent films from around the world. It is a 9-day annual event showcasing the best in global cinema. This year, the films are presented from over 30 countries, including Japan, Colombia, USA, Cuba, France, Italy, Germany, Yemen, Spain, Turkey, India, and Switzerland. For tickets and more information, please visit www.tiburonfilmfestival.com, or they can be reached by phone 415-251-TIFF. That's once again 415-251-8433. The venue is located in Tiburon Playhouse Theater, 40 Main Street in Tiburon. Okay, we're back. Now is the time whereby we talk about the mailbag, celebrating men who are doing positive things in society. Well, I would like to celebrate all the men and give a special shout out to all the men who are being just that, responsible men. Men who are present in their families' lives, men that are doing positive things in the community from around the world, I salute you, and I give you a great big round of applause for all the positive things that you're doing. You're doing great things, men. Keep up the good work. Whether you're a recreational basketball coach, high school basketball coach, or coach of any sports activities, I salute you. The fine male teachers, the male doctors, the firefighters, the policemen, the bookkeepers, the accountants, all the male role models, I salute you, and I give you a great big hallelujah. Thank you for all that you do for society. Once again, the mailbag probably gives a shout out to all the men who have been positive in their communities and in society, especially in their immediate families. Thank you, men, for all that you do. At this time, we'd like to talk about the health issues of men today. Health. Gentlemen, there are some staggering numbers that I'd like to share with you in regards to the leading cause of death among males today. Men, we rank number one in all races is heart disease. 25.2% of the male populations annually meet their demise due to heart disease. Men, why are we afraid to go get a simple routine checkup? Why are we afraid to go talk to our doctors about chest pains, any ailments or discomforts that we may be experiencing in life? It is a matter of life or death. I know some men who take better care of their cars than they do their own bodies. They turn the music down to listen to any clicking sounds in their engine. They make sure it gets the right oil, make sure the tires have the right pressure, make sure it uses the best gas, make sure it's clean, make sure they get the oil changed, and make sure the fuel system is properly functioning. But when it comes to their own body, their own engine, which is the heart, they really take time out to even explore what's going on with the heart. So what's going on, man? Why are we afraid to go through that? We're afraid of some bad news. There are preventive measures. The body's trying to tell you something. It's trying to alert you to something that may be going on. Well, we're going to die anyway. Oh, yes, everything born eventually meets its demise, but why do you have to help it along? You can fight back against it. I'm not saying resist it whereby you're afraid to go out and enjoy life, or you're afraid of accidents, or getting victim of a drive-by or an accident on the freeway or slip and fall. Well, no, I'm talking about you can do some preventive measures. Proper nutrition, moderation in your alcohol consumption, sleep. You can just do a simple thing about walking every day, a half a mile. Because your children are going to miss you. Your mother or your father is going to miss you. Your friends are going to miss you. Those that respect you and love you and adore you in life are going to miss you. So why do you want to cause them all this grief, agony, sadness, and heartache? They sit there and watch you be lowered into the ground simply because you refuse to go to the doctor and get a routine examination. I know countless and countless and countless stories I've heard by it been stated that all they had to do was go get a heart check. This could have been prevented. As most of your doctors nowadays says, yes, routine checkup. But it's too expensive. But we don't think about expenses when we're out partying all night, drinking the Hennessy, drinking the Heinekens, and trying to do all the drugs and driving way out of our ways to go find the latest nightclub to hang out and spending the money on unhealthy food and unhealthy sex practices. We don't think about all those things when it comes to our heart. We say, oh, that's too much. We're going to die anyway. Well, that car eventually is going to stop running if we don't take care of it. What do you think about your own body? Well, enough of my rant on that. So the number two cause is cancer. And number three is unintentional injuries. But I would like to stay on the number one, heart disease. Men, we have to go see a doctor, whether it's a male or a female. I have a female doctor and find it quite great. I see no difference, but you know, it is what it is. My male doctor decided to retire, and I was offered an opportunity to have a female doctor, and I found her quite wonderful. She's quite, you know, remarkable young lady that really speaks into my life, tell me about my cholesterol level, which is great. My blood pressure is great. My vision is 20/20. And my heartbeat is normal. I just have these normal everyday wear and tear of the life that my knees are leaving me, and I just have to do more leg work. That's all I have to do. That's why I'm in the gym doing my squats and doing my little leg presses, trying to get these little twigs, my little bird legs, as my friends call it. I'm trying to keep them healthy because I want to be around for a while. I've lived enough of my life in the shadows of death. Now I want to live in the shadow of life. I want to be in the sun. I want to be amongst the living. All those years I spent, you know, just doing all those things that I thought was very manly in terms of, you know, staying out all night and coming home at 6 a.m, you know, drinking 6-packs before going to the club, drinking while at the club, and then making sure I'm at the 7-Eleven before it closes to get another round because the girls are coming by, or even not the girls, just want to drink, hanging out with the boys. Going out eating, you know, nachos and burritos and, you know, all that unhealthy stuff. But now that I'm getting older, I'm becoming wiser. I'm beginning to think about, you know, tomorrow. What am I going to do? So that was one of the other reasons why I wanted to go back to school. I want to learn more about life. That is all life, what is caked up to be by my vision was blurred because I was living in a box. I was the one, the first one to tell you, oh, we're not going to live that long anyway, so might as well have fun. We party like it's 1999. And here it is, 2013, some 14 years later, and I'm still here. So this is my passion. This is what I believe that this is what my path is calling me to do. This is my calling for the moment, to speak into the lives of men everywhere that we can make a change for the better. And we need to make that change. We need to prove to our women of society that we are strong, willing, dependable males who have good intentions, that love our women and love our children more than we love ourselves. I'm not a father, but I've been a dad. And me being that dad was the greatest experience of my life. It opened my eyes to a lot of great and wonderful things, to watch the personalities develop, watching them, witness them grow taller, you know, losing a tooth and the tooth is coming back in and tooth fairy leaving money, you know, going to the school plays, the first basketball game, the first football game, the first baseball game, the first things in life, the things that they remember, walking them to school every morning was a pleasant experience for me. Cooking breakfast, making lunch, cooking dinner, barbecues, reading a book, or watching a movie, or taking them to the movies, or going out and exploring the world. That was life to me. And I'm so in love with life now because I had that opportunity and that experience to really wake up and smell the roses before it was all too late. So, men, it's not too late. It's not as bad as it may seem. Change your perception and you change your outcome in life. Get back in school, get educated, and you will see the difference in your lives and the difference that you will make to the ones, those that are in your lives, those that will want to follow into your footsteps. Not, you know, so per se that, hey, I want to be like LeBron, I want to be like Kobe, I want to be like Buster Posey, I want to be like Sandoval. But yet and still, when a person of that age can say, I want to be like my dad. Why you want to be like my dad? Because he was so strong that he was there for me. He protected me. Now, that's a hero to me. Those individuals are displayed all over the TV, but the everyday man that you can take a little child and win his heart over that way because you've been a male, that's more than life itself. That is priceless, man. Priceless. That is better than any Michael Jordan fadeaway jump shot with 3 seconds left to go to win the championship. That is better than any Kaepernick touchdown run for 70 yards to win the Super Bowl. That is better than even Buster Posey hitting a home run in Cincinnati off of the stadium sign when they said they had no chance. To have that experience, to have a little one, to say, Mr. Todd, we like you. Will you please come back and visit us again? So, am I invited back again? Men, can we talk again? Can we share what is really going on in the Maryland's world? I would really love to do that. But before we go, I want to give a shout out, a reminder of the Tiburon International Film Festival, which is going to take place April 11th through the 19th in Tiburon, California, the 12th annual Tiburon International Film Festival. 9-day annual event showcasing the best in global cinema, understanding the world through film. This year, the films are presented from 30 countries, including Japan, Colombia, USA, Cuba, France, Italy, Germany, Yemen, Spain, Turkey, India, and Switzerland. This year, the opening film is going to be The Empty House. And also on schedule to film, to run, is The Running for Jim. Local news anchor is directing the Dames, Dan Noyce. Chief corresponding investigator for ABC News is the director. And the film chronicles the story of Jim Tracy, the most decorated high school cross-country coach in California history. Also scheduled to be airing is Past Their Prime. So for more information, and tickets, please visit www.TiburonFilmFestival.com, or they can be reached by phone at 415-251-TIFF. Once again, 415-251-8433, the Tiburon International Film Festival. See you there. Also, in April, at College of Marin, the Marin Ballet 50th Anniversary Reunion Performance scheduled to begin at 8 p.m. The Marin Ballet alumni will be performing for the special event, as well as other current students. Come and help celebrate the past, present, and future. The 50th Anniversary Reunion Performance with current and Marin Ballet students. And they are located in Kentfield, California. That's where the presentation will take place this coming February the 13th at College Marin in Kentfield. Once again, it is the Marin Ballet 50th Reunion Anniversary Performance, which is slated for Saturday, April 13th. Performance begins at 8 p.m. I'm your host, Todd McCleary. You're listening to This Is A Man's World at radio.dominican.edu. Take care of yourselves and one another. Until we meet again, God bless.
Can depend on me to keep things right.